want to welcome you back to the Enduring Churches podcast. It's Alan and Trent here. It feels like it's been forever since we've been together, even though for most of you out there, it's just been a week. For us, it's been several weeks because, Trent, you've been away. So where have you been? What you been doing?
Yeah, it does seem like forever since we've actually talked, Alan. I've been leading took a group. And we did a tour of the Steps of Paul, and we went through Greece and Turkey and some of the islands around Greece. And that was a great trip. Had a wonderful time leading a group and, you know, getting to do things like leading a study at Mars Hill and just, you know, enjoying all those places, being in Ephesus and the island of Patmos. We got to be there where John wrote the book of Revelation. And go into the cave where he wrote that. And so it's just great times. We enjoy getting to do that and taking groups and traveling. But this wasn't so much a mission trip. It was more of a tour. But today, Alan, we want to talk about how to plan and put together a mission trip so that it can be successful and the people can get the most out of it possible.
Yeah, I think it's so important for our churches to be involved in mission activity. And, you know, we have these words today like being missional and doing missions, and they're related and yet they're different. And we've kind of talked about that before. But so many churches today have lost sight of actually going on mission trips and being a people on the go. And you and I both feel that that's an important step that our churches can take, that we need to be involved with. And I'd say that's an area you're much stronger in than I was in. I've done some, but you have really made that a point throughout your ministry to be highly engaged in mission activity and going on mission trips. And so We've got a note together that we put together today to just help you through that. And thankfully, Trent, you put a lot of this together, so I'm grateful for it. So let's talk about it today.
All right, Alan. And so I want to start off by saying that I believe that healthy churches are on mission. They're always looking for opportunities to be doing mission activities, which, as we talk through this today, that can be a lot of different things, right? You and I both have led groups and done mission trips that included lots of different activities, but I believe that God has called every believer to be on mission. And that can mean lots of things, but I think that we need to be praying, giving, and going.
Yeah, that's what we talk about, right? And so, and it's not good just to be involved in one of those things. We shouldn't just pray for missions. We should also give to missions, and we should also go on missions. This is not, well, I'm doing one of the three. We should be doing all three. Mm-hmm. And that's part of what being kind of mission-minded is all about. So when you're talking, trying to build support for missions in a church, and Trent, I know you've pastored in churches that maybe when you got there weren't that heavily involved in missions, and you had to kind of build a passion for that in them. Where did you start?
Well, there's a couple of things. Of course, Scripture, you know, Jesus himself gives us the model in Acts 1:8, which says, let me read this to you. It says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And so that's, you know, coming straight from God's mouth to us. He gives us an example and a platform and a pattern to follow when it comes to doing missions.
Yeah, so you start with the biblical mandate, because that's where we always want to go. We're people of the book, and so we start with the book. And the book tells us that we're to be doing this. We are to be witnesses in all of these places. And we're going to talk about each of these just a little bit. But, you know, we've said before that if you want to be a healthy church, you've got to be involved in at least two out of four parts of this commandment right here. Mm-hmm. And if you're a larger church, you should be involved in all four, quite honestly. But we want to talk about it. And so we build that in it. But Trent, the first thing you said is to really get the Holy Spirit involved in all of this, is to really seek the guidance. And we see that in the Bible, that, you know, the Spirit set aside Barnabas and Saul to go out on mission. You retrace some of their steps, but it was actually the work of the Spirit that led to that first mission movement like that.
Right. You know, we can plan trips, but if we're not following where, like Henry Blackaby would say, where God is already at work, then we're missing out. And so that we need to be seeking the Holy Spirit. And as Jesus said in that passage of scripture, that we will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on us, which we know that took place, you know, with the disciples. But that, I believe, is also something for us, too, that we need to be empowered and guided by the Holy Spirit. We want to work where God is working, because then we know that we'll be able to have the most impact.
Yeah, and for me, one of the instances of that, I really wanted to try to go to South Africa on a mission trip. And I tried everything I could do to go to South Africa on a mission trip. And God kept closing a door and closing a door and closing a door. And instead, he sent me to Lebanon, and it was one of the most impactful things that's ever happened in my life. Mm. And it was because, really, God made it very clear where he wanted me to go. And it was important for me to do that in my own spiritual life. And so, you know, I'm grateful for that. So certainly we can see this at work in our own lives if we will open ourselves up to what God wants to do. And so then, you know, we need to identify that what does it mean to be a witness? It doesn't necessarily mean that we're going somewhere that we don't speak the language and doing street evangelism somewhere. But if God sends us into another cultural context or something, what are some of the things that you've led teams to do, Trent?
Oh, my goodness. We've been around the world. I was able to take a group into India, and we did some training for pastors. But then we also got to create a video that was used to help to create awareness about what was going on in India. We've done some local things where the church that I pastored in Oklahoma, we had several ladies who were gifted hairstylists. And you're like, okay, so what does that have to do with missions? And we took those ladies to all kinds of places, and they did haircuts from Honduras to local homeless shelters. And they would tell those people about Jesus while they're cutting their hair. So you can do all kinds of things.
Yeah, it's amazing all the stuff you can do. There's working with church planters. There's building constructions. That was my first mission trip when I was, you know, in middle school. I went on a mission trip, and I helped run wires. I held onto the wires mm-hmm. while the electricians were stringing stuff up through the building. And so I learned a little bit about church construction, because that's what we're doing. And then, you know, I've been parts of 4 building projects as a pastor. So right. That stuff came in handy, right?
Yes.
Learning
yes.
how to work with volunteer teams and all of those kinds of things. So God didn't even waste those opportunities. Then I learned so much that I've used in my own ministry. You know, we were feeding, when I was in Lebanon, we were feeding refugees. And so doing refugee ministry and visiting them in their tents and building bridges of communication with people. So that's really what missions to me is. Missions is whatever task it is to move people one step closer to a relationship with Christ. And sometimes that's evangelism, but sometimes, and a lot of times, it's doing something else. And you mentioned this whole idea of starting local. And I believe that if we're going to be healthy, we all need to have some kind of local ministry. And sadly, so many churches can't identify anything that they're doing locally. So what do we do here? Where do we start?
Well, I think that a big part of this is looking around your neighborhood and seeing what the needs are. You know, maybe it's going and having a conversation with the folks at the school or at the people that hang out at the coffee shop, and just ask them, hey, as you think about your community, what are needs that we had? And when we did that, the churches that I pastored, one of those areas that was a huge need was some medical attention. We did dental clinics. We did eye clinics. We did medical clinics. And we did those locally. And then God opened up some doors for us to do that in other parts of the world. We gathered, you know, people that were doing that locally, and they got excited about it, about the ability to serve their community. And then we went to Honduras and Guatemala and other places in the world, and they did those same things, and it was exciting.
Yeah, in my last church, one of the ideas of someone on my staff was to do a day of serving where we just took work projects in our community, and we went and tried to bless people who add different needs, and we can do those work communities just to build relationships and build bridges into our community. Some churches do backpacks. You connect with your local school to find out if there's something you can do. If nothing else, you can go to a lot of their sporting events and be volunteers and just help out, but find a way to bless and to serve and to get involved in the lives of other people. Locally, the biggest part of a mission idea is we want to build bridges of relationships to people. And so whatever you can do to build a relationship is what you're looking forward to. Now, when we talk about Judea, we're talking about maybe our state and our region. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm in Texas, and that's like 12 states in one, right?
Yeah, it's not just one, that's for sure.
But there are so many multicultural needs in Texas. Mm-hmm. You know, Houston is one of the most diverse cities in the world now. You know, and there's so many ways to do ministry in that area. There's a lot of bilingual ministries here. There's a lot of growth in this state. You know, it's almost doubled in size over the last 20 years. And so there's a lot of things with church plants and replanting, which is something that we're doing as an association. We're replanting a church. And so that's a mission opportunity. We've got several churches working together on. What are some of your ideas about connecting within your state?
Well, you know, as we think about Missouri, which is where I live now, you would think, oh, mid-America, a whole lot of white farmers, right? But just like you were saying about Texas, Missouri has a lot of different groups that live here that have been coming. We found out as we started looking around that not too far from us in Columbia, Missouri, there are huge groups of Burmese people that have been coming and moving into the area that have, you know, they've had civil war in their country for years. And so they've been coming as refugees and now part of the community. So we've adopted one of those Burmese churches, and our association and a couple of our churches in particular have gone and done some, you know, like a backyard Bible club for them. And then while the ladies were doing that, the guys were building them a soccer field, because all their kids love soccer, and they had some space behind this little tiny building that they're meeting in, and their congregation is made up of all these young families, so there's kids everywhere. So we built them a soccer field with soccer goals and mowed it and striped it and everything, and it was just a blast.
Yeah, there's so many things you can do. Just be willing to say, hey, there's a need here, and we'd love to fill that need. And people get excited when they see there's a specific need. And I think that's something that when we're talking about some of the planning coming up in just a little bit, think about specifics. When people know something specific, they're much more likely to get involved and to want to be part of that. And of course, the uttermost parts of the earth, it's amazing that so many places still have never even had a gospel witness, but they're out there. There are people, if we don't go, they'll never hear. And we really do need to think about all the far reaches of the world, because they're out there.
Well, and Alan, I want to put Samaria and uttermost parts of the earth together, because I believe Jesus was kind of slapping those disciples around a little bit, helping them to see their that they had problems with other races, and that there were some groups that they would never reach out to. And when he said Samaria, that was one of those groups. And so as you think about missions, who are the groups? You know, when, Alan, you said you went to Lebanon. There's a lot of people, I think, that they would really struggle with that. God loves those people. And you all were able to minister and share Christ with them, you know. And so if we can get past some of our biases to reach out to Samaria, our Samaria, that people we struggle with in our nation, then God will take us around the world and give us opportunities to share the gospel with people that maybe we had never thought we would even like, but we'll end up loving them.
That's exactly right. And that's what happened in my own life. I mean, I'll be honest. I God had brought me face to face with some of my own issues that I might have said I didn't have, but I obviously did have. And so I had to come face to face with some of that. And then I think, Trent, on the other side, what's amazing about that is you come back and you realize that God has brought so much of that close to us. You know, we talk about Houston or Atlanta or our urban centers today that are so diverse and are just influxes of people of different nationalities. God has brought Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world right to our doorstep. And from a ministry standpoint, we have a great opportunity. God has made it so easy for us. Mm-hmm. All we have to do is say, yes, we're available. And I know he can use us to help reach the nations for Christ. And so that's an exciting thing for us to think about.
Well, and I want to point out an area that most people forget about is that God has brought the nations to our college campuses. And talk about an incredible opportunity that's so easy. There's a lot of opportunity. There's different groups that are Christian groups that meet on campus. And if you just go help them to minister to those students, wow, it opens up so many doors. And then those students that are Christians can open up, you know, some relationships. Maybe they live by some folks in the dorm that are from another nation. Or there's people that are not able to go when the college is having a break for a holiday. They have no place to go because they live so far away. Well, maybe your family could host them for a holiday and teach them about the traditions of the United States and then share Jesus through that.
I've gotten to eat some pretty cool food from doing that and opening our home up for some international students. And it's been pretty fun to allow them to have a home-cooked meal where they came in and we bought the ingredients and they made us a meal from their native home. And how neat to be able to share that time with them. Well, Trent, let's give people, before we close up today, let's give people just a little checklist here of some things to do as far as planning a good mission trip for your church. You know, the first thing I just want to encourage people, you know, connect with a good mission agency. It's really hard to go and just say, hey, we want to go to X place. You may get there and not know what to do. So make sure you connect with a good, reputable mission agency. Do your homework. There's a lot of people who bring in mission fairs. Go check those out. Find out who does good stuff. Talk to other pastors and find a good, reputable organization to connect with.
Yeah, it may be that your denomination has a, you know, an agency within it that has a partnership already set up. I know that in Alan and I's lives and the denomination that we work with, our different organizations have partnerships that are already in place. And that gives you an automatic local contact person that you can work with. It's awful hard to plan a mission trip especially in another part of the world. Without a local contact person, you need to have that person that you can talk with that can help put the details together for you.
Yeah, those local people mean so much in that. And so you talk about taking a prior trip. And so we would call that maybe a vision trip or right. A planning trip. I did that when we were taking our church to Calgary. I went up in the middle of January to Calgary to check it out. And not a necessarily a nice time to visit Calgary, but you do learn what cold is for sure.
Yeah, no kidding. Isn't that the vacation spot of the world? Is Calgary, Canada, in January?
I mean, absolutely, man. Absolutely.
But it's really true. In order for you to be able to be prepared for some of the things that you're going to come up against, it's really good for you to go to that place. You know, I try to go with a small group. Just recently, my wife Dana and I and one of our local pastors made a trip to Illinois just to put some details together. We're getting ready to do the same thing in Poland. Those trips help you to set up a relationship and understand what you're going to be dealing with so that you don't look stupid when you've got a group of people that you're taking with.
Yeah, it's good to know the lay of the land before you do that. And fortunately, when we connected with Heart for Lebanon, they offered us a vision trip and allowed me to come in and see how the whole operation works and how it would work for a team. And so I had a very clear picture when we let a group go. So it was really beneficial for us. You know, the fourth thing, be flexible. Trent, that's always important. So when you're training a team, you're putting a team together. If there are people who can't handle change or some uncertainty or are going to freak out if an airline flight's missed because of weather or this or that, they're probably going to struggle on that mission trip, right?
Oh, yeah. Flexibility, because there's, you know, we as Americans, we tend to live by our watch and by our calendar. A lot of places in the world don't do that. And when they say they're going to meet at a certain time, it's not even close to that time, because we're like, I'm one of those people, Alan, that likes to be at a place early. If I'm on time, I'm late. And so that kind of freaks me out. But I have to train myself to be flexible when I'm going to Central America or South America, because they don't live by the same clock that I do.
Yeah, that's an important one. And then to know your purpose. So if you're going to put the right team together, they need to know what they're going to be doing. And so, you know, you don't want to take a group of senior adults on a mission trip if it's going to involve a lot of heavy physical labor, because they're not going to be able to do that. So what's the purpose of the trip? What are they expecting from you, the group that wanting you to come in? I know there was one time we were looking for a mission trip, and we were trying to connect our students with a group, and that group just wanted them to come in and put fence posts in. Well, that was valuable, but we wanted to do something that involved our kids getting more people oriented. And so we had to pivot and find a different opportunity for our students that particular year. And so what's the purpose? Does it fit what your people can do and what you want them to do? You know, you mentioned earlier you had some people who could cut hair. So you found a way to put them together. I always think of a movie you and I like, The Three Amigos, with Steve Martin. And they, at the end, they asked the people of their village, you know, well, what can you do? And they said, well, we can sew.
Yeah.
Great. We wish we'd known this. Well, you know, there was a purpose in that. And I think there's a purpose for all of our people. We can sew. Well, there's a mission for that. And so make sure you know your people and you match up the right jobs with the right people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also, you know, one of the things as part of that, you mentioned not taking a group of senior adults to a place with a lot of physical labor. Also being able to have a hard conversation with them. Maybe someone signed up to go on a trip. I had to do this with a gentleman who had a lot of health issues. And where we were going, I had to tell him, if something happens and with the health issues you have, there's not a hospital close and you could die. I just need you to know that up front. And that was a difficult conversation to have, but I needed him to have eyes wide open before he went to that. And so, you know, that and his wife needed to know that too. So.
Yes, because she's the one with the authority to say, no, you're not going. So.
Exactly.
Right. Well, Trent, there's one more, and this is one you wrote down, and I think that's really important. Don't have an agenda that's so solid that it can't be flexible. But what's behind all of that?
Well, you know, just as you mentioned that there was a group that wanted you to put in fence posts, you kind of need to know that if I go into an area with my agenda coming from the United States into another part of the world, I may not be doing what is meeting their needs there. You know, I could come in with my own plan, but if I'm missing what they need, then they're going to be gracious. Most people around the world are going to be very gracious and they're going to say, yes, that's great. But it's really not helping them, the local people, to be able to minister for the name of Jesus Christ. And so that's what we want to do, is help them do the ministry, because they're going to be staying there. You know, your group comes in, does some work, and then leaves.
Yeah, so make sure that your agenda is kind of wide open. Just give it back to God and recognize in a lot of places you go, and you may have one idea of how it's going to be, and it may go some way different, and the plans are going to go different. The weather's not going to cooperate. All kinds of things happen that cause us to have to make these little pivots in our lives and in our ministries. And so there's just some things for you to consider when if you're talking about mission trips planning those trips. And I think those are really important part of life of our church. And maybe we don't talk about these enough. So maybe this will help get you connected to the idea of doing missions together. Trent, you've got any final words for us?
I just would encourage everyone to be on mission, to look for opportunities. And again, just like Acts 1:8 says, start locally. And then as God gives you the opportunity to go further around the world, but look for where God is at work and you'll just see amazing miracles. And so Alan and I both want to encourage you to be on mission for the name of Jesus Christ.
All right. Well, there you have it. And guys, we're so glad to be back together. Trent, it's good to see you. Good to be back with you. And listeners, so good to have you a part of the Enduring Church's family. Be sure you share this with someone else and help them get on mission as well. So thanks again for tuning in, and we look forward to catching you next week on the Enduring Churches podcast.